Hi, my name is Erin Tillman. I am a dating empowerment coach, speaker, and author known as the Dating Advice Girl. For over 10 years, I've been empowering and coaching singles by helping them improve their social skills, communication skills, and get clear on their dating goals and objectives. Relationships are not one size fits all, but basic consent and respect are important parts of the dating process in order to have an exciting and meaningful connection with others. Listen, learn, and laugh with me on this journey of sex-positive self-discovery. Thanks for listening. Okay, so we are here on another episode of the Dating Advice Girl podcast, and you know, this next guest is really cool. We actually met during this random dating documentary we're a part of, which we can't really talk about, I guess, right, JT?
Not yet.
Right. It's kind of like under wraps. We're doing stuff. We're making moves.
Top secret.
Top secret stuff. That's right. And so, you know, I was really impressed by what he had to say during the filming of the documentary. And so I decided to have him on the show. So who am I talking about? It's my next guest, JT Tran, and he's amazing. He's a pickup artist, but specifically his niche is for Asian men. And you know what? I've worked with some pickup artists. We're going to get into it in a second. But I really am kind of fascinated by pickup artistry and the social part of it, the communication part of it. It can go a whole bunch of different directions after that in terms of things that are really helpful and then can be a little, you know, can skew a little more negative. But I don't want to focus as much on that because I think it's very helpful what you do. But I'm digressing because I'm very long-winded. So welcome, JT. Yay!
Thank you for having me, Erin. I appreciate it.
Of course. So to know a little bit more about JT, I'm going to read part of his bio, but he's done a lot of things and it's kind of a long bio, so I'm just going to give you the quick highlights, but I'm going to put the bio on the podcast so people can read it. But here we go. JT Tran, the Asian Playboy, is the founder of the world-renowned ABCs of Attraction, one of the world's first and most successful indie pickup companies. Known as the world's greatest Asian pickup artist, he is the creator of the revolutionary holistic approach, which I'm curious about, holistic approach to pickup, and has transformed the lives of thousands of men with his groundbreaking products, programs, and the help of his dynamic coaching staff. The Asian Playboy is a leading authority on dating for minority men and is considered to be the most hardcore, which I'm curious about, and effective boot camp instructor in the business. He is the founder of one of the longest running and most widely read seduction arts blogs in history, which recently surpassed more than 2 million site visits, which is amazing because it's freaking hard to get people to pay attention sometimes. Okay. He is the author and producer of several ebooks, DVDs, CDs, and other multimedia personal coaching resources. Additionally, he has provided thousands of hours of training and coached students in 20 cities on 5 continents. Okay, here's the last part, and then we're going to jump in. Here we go. You have so many things you're doing. This is a great bio. With record successes under his belt, the Asian Playboy's reach is expansive and only matched by his level of success at helping Asian and other ethnic men achieve their dreams of meeting, attracting, and connecting with the women of their dreams. Each day, his students become more confident and determined individuals and reach new levels of success in all areas of their lives using the tools, resources, and knowledge that he has shared with them. Welcome, JT Tran. Woo! Yes, welcome. I actually want to start because another part of your bio, it says that you were born in Texas and you moved around the South. I think that's really interesting. I should say, through your childhood and battled discrimination, social isolation, and perceived barriers, right? And so I think, you know, also growing up in a small town in the Midwest, which isn't so different in some ways because I'm Southern Ohio, which has some, it's more conservative, let's just say. Mm-hmm. It is an interesting thing. I'm relating to myself in a way just off the bat because I'm like, I think there's a lot of things socially that a lot of people wouldn't expect. Like, I grew up in an all-white town. I didn't have a boyfriend until college. So I kind of had to, like, get out of the schooling, younger schooling system to be, like, paid attention to. Not that people didn't see me or were attracted to me, but they were afraid. There was a lot of racist stuff. I had old classmates of mine tell me that their parents wouldn't let them ask me out. Wow. For like school dances and stuff.
Okay.
And so I think that shapes the way that we see ourselves and the way we date and the way we're perceived or we think we're perceived in terms of attraction, right? I mean, I'm going to let you talk, of course. Like, there are so many thoughts. But just reading that part of your bio, though, I had so many thoughts about that. And I'm like, well, maybe that's why JT got into pickup artistry. You know, I don't know. I mean, does that tell me what you're thinking about everything I'm saying right now?
Well, being born and raised in Texas, I definitely encountered a lot of racism. I mean, I got picked on, called gook, chink, got bullied. You know, kids would chase me, throw rocks at me.
Oh my God.
And like you, I didn't date until I was 20 when I was in college. And it was like completely by accident. Like, she chose me. But I was that kid that was complete nerd.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I went to prom by myself because I couldn't get a date. I didn't know how.
Me too. Yeah. And I was on homecoming and prom court and still went by myself. I totally relate. Go on, please. Yeah.
And also, though, if you think about it, for those of us who are like second generation, our parents are immigrants.
Mm-hmm.
What could my like stepfather, who had been, you know, thrown into like a re-education camp by the Vietnamese communists, what could he teach me?
Oh my God.
You know, sure. About dating here in America. Mm-hmm. So not only was I facing sort of like that extrinsic racism, that exists in society, but like internally. There are, I love my Asian culture, but there are certain things that have a hard time adjusting here in American society. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I got into the entire kind of, you know, pickup, psychology, communication, because there was on both sides of the spectrum this feeling, especially for Asian men.
Yeah.
You know, men, you know, men of color, where trying to date outside of my race was significantly more difficult, or at least it seemed to me, than for everyone else.
It's so interesting because I think during the documentary I had mentioned, and I think you said too, that you might have seen, I think it was maybe OkCupid did a study on who's the least chosen groups on the site, and it was Asian men and Black women. And I was like, oh, here we are, JT! Right? But I'm like, it's so interesting because I feel like I've grown up knowing that there were standards of beauty, especially for women, right? Mm-hmm. For cisgendered women out there, femme-looking women, there's the standard of beauty of, like, blonde, perhaps, or lighter-skinned, straight hair. It was, like, all these things. And it's like, I feel very lucky that my family, you know, was very, very embraced the idea that I was beautiful. I was very lucky to have a supportive family and like, oh no, you're this and you're that and don't compare yourself. Not everyone has that. And so, you know, you're talking about like family and culture and stuff. I mean, it's so hard, especially I can't imagine coming from, again, second generation and the lineage comes from a different culture and you're in this new culture where it's like, even though you were born here, right? It's still like this idea of like what your family might know might be very different from what's happening here for you as a child growing into it, right? And so there's so many layers.
Sure. I mean, not only are we dependent upon sort of like the oral tradition of dating, because that's how men learn how to date, and like women, you know, what we see in the media. But if, you know, if you're coming from an immigrant background, what could we learn? Because it's on both sides.
Right.
It's internally on our family and our, you know, culture, but also externally. You were talking about kind of universal standards of beauty, which, as we both know, are dictated by a Eurocentric viewpoint.
Totally.
Right? And who just got named the most beautiful man in the world? Robert Pattinson.
Wait, did he?
No, the Twilight guy.
John, I thought it was John. Anyway, yes. Yeah, it's so crazy.
Yeah, John Legend got People.
People magazine,
but like,
right.
Quote-unquote, scientifically, is Mr. Twilight, the vampire
really?
Guy.
Really? Oh, see, yeah. I hadn't even heard that. Okay.
Exactly.
Oh, my God.
So, again, you know, rule by Eurocentric standards of beauty. And this is where not only is it the oral tradition of what we learn, but also like our own mental belief system and framework that we operate emotionally and mentally, where if we think, you know, call it internalized racism.
Right.
If we think that, oh my gosh, this girl won't like me because I'm short, I'm fat, or I'm a different race, then does it really matter if even you know how to talk to a girl? Because if you don't believe in yourself.
Right.
So there's, you know, going back to the holistic thing is like, you know, I work with a lot of Asian and a lot of them don't speak English.
Yeah.
You know, so a lot of the standard kind of pickup tactics don't work for
us. Language barriers.
Yeah.
Sure.
So what's the point of trying to teach them like all this kind of,
all
these, you know, gimmicks and tactics? It doesn't work.
Right. Yeah. Right. So when you, is it more movement and energy with them then when you're teaching them, if it's not about the verbiage and language? Like, how do you teach them? That's very interesting.
Well, when I say holistic, I don't mean it like a hippie, dippy sense.
Right. I was like, what does this mean? Yeah.
More like a Renaissance man, kind of, where we work on, like, their internal game, their mental frame set, and their emotional state.
Yeah.
Externally, like, their physical confidence. And yes. then their verbal. And again, right. I've had, curiously enough, students who were, like, 6 foot tall, good-looking, Asian-American, buff, well-dressed, speak perfect English, and they can't get a girlfriend because yep. they don't believe in themselves.
Totally. I've seen it too.
They've been raised always thinking of themselves as like a second-class citizen, so they never believe.
Right.
And
right.
I've had completely fobby Asian guys, can barely speak English, straight from China.
Fobby, fresh off the boat, for fresh those off who the listening. Boat, yeah. Yes.
You know, they come here, and they don't know, like, dating, because right. obviously dating in the motherland is different from dating
sure,
here.
Sure, sure, yeah.
But they can be very successful because to them, they don't realize they're not supposed to be successful. They
just think, interesting, yes.
Like, I don't know why I'm not getting girls, but I should be.
Right.
You know, while the other guy's like, I don't deserve a girl.
Yeah, no, but it's so interesting. It is a mind game. And in that way, it's so interesting, right? It just proves, because back to your original back to what you're saying before, like 6 foot tall, like beautiful, whatever standard of beauty we think this person, there's a collective idea that we think this person is beautiful. They're tall, they're all these things. And if you don't have a confidence, sometimes it doesn't matter, right? And I've seen it happen too. It's like, or like even for women too, it's like mm-hmm. stunningly beautiful woman, whatever. And it's like always single, like, and not by choice, because I know people who are single by choice, but not mm-hmm. by choice, right? It's so crazy.
Sort of like an offshoot of what, I'm probably going to butcher the term, like body dimorphism.
Yeah.
Where you can be beautiful, but you look in the mirror and yeah. you don't see the beauty.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Right? So, okay, so this is great. I love it. And by the way, we're going to run out of time because there's never enough time, and you have a lot to say, and I love it. So we might have to have you on again at some point.
Great.
But let's jump into the questions. Okay, so you kind of touched upon it, but so what is your area of expertise? Like, what if someone's like a brand new potential client for you, what would your, not pitch be, but what would you say you would help them in layman's terms? What would you say to them to like get them to basically like hire you as the coach?
Well, I'm USA's number one Asian dating coach. Mm-hmm. I work with men of color, specifically Asian American.
Mm-hmm.
Not only, but definitely, you know, when they see me, they can relate to me.
Sure.
I am not a tall, good-looking white guy. I'm like short, average Asian guy.
JT, and you are handsome, though. I don't think you're short. Like, you're 5'6"?
5'5".
5'5"? I don't know. Anyway, go on, please.
Right. And so, you know, people relate to me,
mm-hmm.
right? Because mm-hmm. I don't fit the classic archetype of what is considered handsome in
mm-hmm.
America.
Mm-hmm.
And so people want to learn that. And I had to learn through the hard way of over 10 years of putting myself out there through embarrassment and humiliation and misadventures to even reach just a small percentage of understanding of the opposite sex when
it comes
to dating.
When you say put yourself through this, do you mean like out in the world, in the dating world without a coach or without... just kind of trying and fumbling through? Is that what you mean? Okay.
I mean, I started the Asian Playboy blog, which is where I got that stage name.
Right.
Because it was sort of like Sex and the City, but for Asian men.
I love it.
And people were reading it, and I would write about all my misadventures.
Yeah.
It wasn't just me being like, oh, I scored. It's like, I went out, I get rejected, I went home and I cried, and this is what I learned. And
oh, wow.
People related to that.
Totally.
Because I wasn't like a male model getting girls, because if I was, then, you know, how could they relate to me?
Well, and also, I just want to say, I think it's really amazing that as a guy, you were that vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think it's really helpful for other Asian men, but I think that's really helpful for men, because it's so hard for men in American culture and a lot of Western cultures, right, to be like to be vulnerable or show that something made them sad. Like, it's so crazy, just not to go too off topic, but the fact when Kobe died the last week, there's so many men who actually showed emotion for the first time I'd never seen before, friends of mine or like family members, and I'm like, oh my god, like, they care and they have feelings, but you rarely see it. So I think it's amazing you allowed yourself to be that vulnerable, to share, and people, of course, that's when people can relate the most, right? Amazing. So
thank you.
You might refer people to your blog, You tell them about how you learned through this and all the things you've learned. And so what are some things that, like, the practical things you might teach someone who's brand new to all this and is like, I don't know where to begin. I know nothing, JT. Like, what would you tell them that they could get from you after, like, a coaching session, perhaps?
Well, what I do is I work holistically, like I said, and I would teach them, like, something mental, emotional, mm-hmm. something physical, and something verbal. So mentally, you know, is the battle is lost or won before it's even fought. If you walk into a bar or on a date and you think, oh my God, she's so tall and I'm so short, she'll never like me, you've already lost.
Right.
So I'd work on the client's mindset.
Yes.
Then also just physically, his physical confidence, mm-hmm. right? Because attraction happens before you even talk to her.
Right.
Are you physically confident? How do you project yourself?
Like from across the room, you mean? Like
body language, or like, you know, what we call here with my Asian clients, there's something what we call the Asian poker face.
The Asian poker face.
You know, there's like a stereotype.
Yeah.
Right? Like us, you know, quote unquote, Orientals are so inscrutable and all of that,
right? Sure.
It's an old stereotype, but there is like, you know, like in any kind of stereotype, there's some grain of truth mm-hmm. in the fact that people of different races have a harder time telling, you know, emotional states. They've done this in like studies of witnesses and juries. And so when it's like a white person or a black person mm-hmm. trying to differentiate Asians, like it's hard.
Yeah.
Or like the emotional state.
Right.
So we have to emote. And part of it is also too, in Asian culture, we aren't really taught to express ourselves a lot.
Yeah.
So,
sure.
Yeah. And what's the very first thing a woman sees? Is my face.
Yes.
So I have to be able to communicate with my body and my face.
Right.
And then finally we get to the verbal stuff. Like, what do I say to her? How do I break the ice without sounding like an idiot? But what do you say if he is ESL, English is a second language?
Because
something like 2/3 of Asian Americans, English is their second language.
2/3?
Yeah, something like 66.
I didn't realize that was that high.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I know you've worked with other pickup artists.
Yeah.
Here, you know, we kind of straddle the line of like pickup because classical dating doesn't really work for Asian men, as well as just like self-improvement.
Yeah.
Because it has to be a little bit of both when it comes to Asian guys.
Interesting.
So it can't just be one or the other.
Why couldn't it be? Okay, so like this is great. I have JT's puppy on my lap, lady, and she just sneezed. I was like, oh, bless you. So that's interesting. So it has to be a combination of both. So I have a question that I wanted to ask you around what are some challenges that Asian men specifically face that you might help them through. So maybe that's part of it. Maybe part of the answer is what you're saying, like the classic problems are if they're going out and dating like dating apps and like all these mainstream ways of dating, that it doesn't work as well for them. Do you know? So, I mean, you kind of touched on it though. So you're saying that classic dating mixed with pickup techniques is like the formula.
Yeah. I mean, it's a little bit more complex than that.
Yeah, yeah.
But again, if you think about it, the dating, you know, dating OS 1.0, who does that benefit?
Right.
It benefits the, you know, current people in power.
And yeah, who say, run like, the
white,
apps.
Yeah, the white patriarchy, if you want to get into it. And so, you know, when it comes to, like, my Asian clients, it can't simply be, oh, just be confident.
Sure.
Right? Just be yourself.
Right.
Because, you know, most girls find it a hard time when, like, some Asian person who can barely speak English comes up to her and then she has to give more time of her day to pay attention.
Right.
And let's be honest, most women won't give that much time.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, I mean, I think that's pretty universal, especially in, let's say, like a place like Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
It's like we're not super patient, especially if you approach us like in a bar or something. It's like, oh God, here we go, you know, regardless. And so, I mean, back to the whole like OkCupid study of like Asian men and black women being the least whatever chosen or whatever. I do feel like there's like that extra level of barrier of trying to like get attention.
Oh yeah.
Right?
Because
I feel like other POC people of color, specifically black women, but also other ethnicities, it is a little harder. It's almost like you have to like gimmick yourself up a little bit or something. Or like you said, if you have other skills or techniques, or you are able to like shift your energy in some way, you might get noticed. But it is this whole thing.
Well, I think what I try to do is encourage and direct them to improve themselves.
Right.
Right. As well as use techniques that are very practical. And not simply be like, just be yourself, but at the same time, more than just a lot of the pickup gimmicks, which is so verbally oriented around like verbal stuff. And again, when I have like majority of my clients, you know, don't speak English as their first language,
right,
a lot of that stuff you can read on the internet is completely useless to them.
Oh, especially if it's like jokes or like colloquial, like all that stuff.
Idioms, stuff like that.
Of course,
Because they have to like translate it into their native language, think of a response, and then translate it back.
Not to mention, real quick, so I lived in France in college and a little bit after college, and like I'm bilingual in French, but the hardest thing for me, especially when I was learning, was like the slang and the jokes. Mm-hmm. And that was just me trying to make friends, not trying to really date in France, even though I did date, whatever, doesn't matter. But yeah, it was, that was always the hardest, even still. It's like another language, trying to get like jokes and like slang is so hard, you know, or the timing attached to all that. Anyway, it's a whole thing. Okay. Okay, JT. Okay, I'm going to keep it moving because time is a ticking. Okay, this is so great. Okay, so, so you know, you'd mentioned before, and we had talked before about how I've worked with pickup artists before. Not in a, I mean, there's so many things I could say in my 12-year career doing this, but I actually had some really good experiences with the pickup artists that I worked with. I always was treated with respect, I think, because they saw me as a colleague. I was not a target. I was not someone that was like, you know, they're trying to fix up with one of their clients or that kind of thing. I actually think it could, I think it's very beneficial. We know certain people, we know mutual people who are learning things around, you know, confidence, and maybe come from, their social skills might need some brushing up, you know, and I feel like pickup artistry in that way is super helpful, you know, because a lot of it is social skills, a lot of it is communication, body language, confidence, all the things. I have seen it used for evil too. Yeah. I mean, you know what, here's the thing that I want to say too really quickly is that I don't have any judgment in terms of what someone is looking for. Some people are looking for relationships. Some people are looking for sex. Some people are looking for long-term and short-term and polyamory and monogamy and all these things. I have no judgment there as long as everyone's on board, right? So I feel like in this, stay with me. Here comes the question. you know, I do a lot of consent work too, and I've had so many thoughts and feelings around, like, you know, in this Me Too or post-Me Too era. It's got to be, I wonder, have you had to shift any of your teachings around pickup artistry because of consent and because of the Me Too movement? Has any of that shifted, and or have any of your clients expressed concern around being out there approaching people in the Me Too era? So much, I know, I'm sorry.
Yeah. I mean, for us, you know, we teach something called like the ABCDF system, the ABCs of attraction. Mm-hmm. And C is where we talk about like compliance. It's just essentially consent.
Okay.
So nothing has changed on our end. We are gaining compliance where she says yes to various levels, you know, along the line of the dating, you know, journey. So that hasn't changed for us. Now, for our clients, there's obviously, you know, thoughts of like, oh, okay, dating has changed, and they are concerned if they're going to get caught up in that change.
Sure.
Society has been changing, you know, these past few years, and for some people, they're not used to it.
Right.
Right. But I think, obviously, overall, it's a net positive.
Okay, cool.
Right. And for, I think it's also good in the fact that it is requiring guys to update their dating OS to 2.0 instead of 1.0. And you also have to understand, like, a lot of my clients, they come from Asia, back in the motherland, and the dating culture there is going to be very different from here.
How is it different? Is there, I mean, obviously there's so many countries in Asia, right? How do you break it down? But like, for, I mean, is there anything in particular you could like a couple things that are different there than here in terms of dating?
The gender imbalance is a huge thing
over
in Asia, and that pretty much affects most Asian countries. But
more men?
Yeah, there's like 30 million more men than women.
Oh my, okay, right.
Right? So, you know, over there, you know, the guys are feeling like that dating pressure.
Right.
But there's also like very kind of older, you know, quote unquote, traditional roles of gender.
Right.
That have been changing as China and all the other Asian countries modernize and, you know, step into 2020. But it, again, it's a change that people aren't used to.
Yeah.
But here, they're coming to America, they understand inherently, at least, that they do have to change in some way because what works back there isn't working over here.
So would you say there's more of a resistance there, like in certain Asian countries, in terms of like becoming more, I guess, modern with what's happening dating and consent-wise? Is there more of a resistance there with that?
That's a huge topic.
Right.
I mean, obviously, like, Me Too has, you know, has arrived in Korea, and there's a lot of discussion there. And then you have India that has a lot of sexual assault issues and laws that are trying to put into place.
Right.
But at the same time, when you think about, like, with China, women are gaining a bit more, you know, gender power because they can dictate, you know, more because there's just fewer women.
Right. And if you want one of those women, then you're going to like step up. And, right.
No, yeah, right. Yeah. But it's definitely changing. I mean, this is what happens when any kind of like third or second world country starts to go into the first world.
Sure.
Is technology, you know, both technology and feminism has fueled pickup artistry, if you will. Because we have, as men, we have to update. We have to get new dating software.
Right.
Because the old ways, you know, are back in the past.
Right.
They're like Windows 95.
I was just going to say, JT uses all these like tech references. He's like, update your iOS for those of you PC users. Mm. Like he's referring to technology and like basically being more up to date. We got to be inclusive in terms of what phone someone uses.
Okay.
Okay. So this is great. So, you know, we're almost out of time. We're really actually out of time. This is so great. But, I would like to keep this conversation going at another time because, again, we've touched on so many things, like just scratched the surface, and it's so great. And there's so much more to talk about. But, okay, can you give a few tips for someone that's listening to the show, men, women, whatever gender, all the genders, are there any confidence tips you can give them, just a couple tips as we wrap up the show?
Well, obviously, I work with predominantly Asian American guys, you know, heterosexual. So that's who my audience is, and that's the advice I'll be giving.
Yeah.
Is, you know, women, especially in America, have what I call like a, and again, to be techie, kind of like a dating cloud. It's like your iCloud, right?
Oh, yes.
And women will draw upon this knowledge when, as an Asian guy, go up to her if she's never dated an Asian man.
Okay.
Right? And what is out there for her to draw upon if she's never even met an Asian guy or dated an Asian guy? Media, Hollywood. What her girlfriends say about Asian guys? What her guy friends say about Asian guys?
Mm-hmm.
And if you know, look like a stereotype, you walk like a stereotype, and you talk like a stereotype, how is she going to treat you? Like a stereotype.
Interesting.
Right? Even though you are a complex, three-dimensional human being, you know, women just don't have, you know, enough time, right?
Sure.
They say a first impression is formed within 7 seconds. So you
How
want
long?
To make
4 to 7 seconds?
7 seconds.
First impression is 7 seconds.
Yeah.
That's true. I'd say that's accurate. Yeah. I'm like thinking about myself in this. I'm like, yeah, that's right.
So I, as an Asian guy, what I encourage my students is what I call a more direct or, you know, kamikaze approach, where I want to go in and I want to blow her mind and make her think of me as a man.
Yep.
Not an Asian guy, but as a man.
Yep.
And I once had a student, and I witnessed this, and I'm like, that's just amazing, where the idea is go up to a girl, compliment her, say, I think you're beautiful, I'd like to get to know you better.
Mm-hmm.
But now what I call my kamikaze is, imagine a 5'0" Singaporean, fobby Asian student, fobby Asian hair, fobby Asian accent, fobby Asian clothes, coming up to like a 6-foot-tall Caucasian blonde woman and saying, you are fucking beautiful.
Right.
And it blows a person's mind because no one expects like an Asian person, first of all, to be that forward.
Absolutely.
Secondly, to be that forward and a little bit vulgar, but they say like a little bit of vulgar is very authentic.
Yeah.
Right? And then you've got the accent, and it forces a person to really go like, what just happened?
Like, what?
It breaks the heuristic.
Absolutely.
So going a direct style, I think, is much more conducive mm-hmm. for an Asian guy.
Yeah.
Now, that isn't going to be true in every circumstance. Sure. Obviously, sometimes right. you got to learn how to make small talk and, you know, break the ice. But in general, I think it's very important for an Asian guy to be more authentically direct in mm-hmm. his romantic and sexual interests, as opposed to trying to hide his right. interest with, like, small talk.
Well, let me just say, I feel like guys in general don't approach much, regardless of ethnicity and race. So I always am noticing, I mean, listen, we're, like, professionals in this, so we always, I think we notice things others don't, like, we're mm-hmm. out there in the world, but, like, it's so rare to see anyone approach anybody. And I know it happens, it just happens way less than I feel like when I was in my 20s or something, right? And so, yeah, that any man, any cis man especially that approaches someone confidently, I always notice and I'm always somewhat impressed by, even if I'm not interested. And second of all, I think it's really great that you're teaching Asian men to be more confident, because there's so many things you said, but you're talking about like Hollywood stereotypes, or people get their information about, like, just finally we're starting to see more, like, Asian men who were the object of affection, or like leading men, attractive sexual men in Hollywood just now, like in the last couple of years, right?
Yeah.
And that's amazing, because you never really saw that. So of course there's all these stereotypes that are awful, right? So yeah, so okay, confidence, be bold is what you're saying to the people.
Go big or go home.
Go big or go home. I like it. Okay, so JT, where can people find out more about you, your programs, your courses, your coaching, social media, anything you want to share?
Yeah, just go to our website at www.abcsofattraction.com. We also have a pretty big YouTube channel for both entertainment as well as educational videos. So check us out. And we do live boot camps that teach Asian men, you know, how to be both confident, how to talk, and how to have that command presence.
I think that's amazing, honestly. I could I, like, come to one of your boot camps? Just, like, be a fly on the wall? But that would be... how about this? Don't answer. We'll talk about that after the podcast is over. I don't want to invade, but I'm just really fascinated, and I think what you're doing is really cool. So, yeah. I mean, that's it for now. Again, super long-winded. I'm going to wrap it up. Thanks for being on the show, JT.
Thank you for having me.
And we'll have another guest on the podcast soon. And now it's time for the Consent Corner. Tips, advice, and insights from my book, The Consent Guidebook. Chapter 4, Interpreting Nonverbal Cues. It's even more important not to push boundaries with individuals who are unable or uncomfortable expressing themselves verbally. If you are not sure that someone is an enthusiastic yes to a specific interaction, either verbally or nonverbally, it's best not to proceed. Each interaction and situation is different, but there are certain behaviors that can signal unease. Having said that, here are some signals that someone might not be interested in engaging with you. Number 1, someone is backing away. If the person you are interested in engaging with keeps backing away while you're interacting with them, this might be a sign that they are not interested in continuing the interaction. At the very least, it might mean that they feel that you are too close in proximity to them. Number 2, someone is avoiding eye contact. Lack of eye contact can sometimes mean shyness or nervousness, but it can also mean that that person could be disinterested in the interaction. At the very least, lack of eye contact does not indicate an enthusiastic interaction. Number 3, someone isn't responsive to verbal or nonverbal interaction. A lack of responsiveness during a conversation can mean anything from confusion or lack of comprehension to disinterest or annoyance. If someone isn't responding to your questions, isn't engaging in a back-and-forth conversation with you, and is frozen in their interaction with you, it could be a sign that they are not interested in continuing a conversation with you at that moment in time. Number 4, someone seems distracted while interacting with you. If someone is looking at other people, searching for others while talking to you, or seem generally distracted while talking to you, it might simply mean that this might not be a good time for this person to engage in a specific interaction with you. They might very well be interested in interacting with you later, if and when they are less distracted. But if they are not actively engaging with you at that moment, find others who will be more present and enthusiastic about having a chat with you. The Consent Guidebook is available in paperback and ebook on Amazon, Google Books, iBook, and wherever ebooks are sold. For more info, go to theconsentguidebook.com.